Good morning, brothers and sisters at Living Hope Fellowship. Good morning. Glad to be back. I think there are a few new faces that I didn't get to see back in July, but hopefully I get to to meet you a little bit later. I think I shared last time, but for those who weren't here, I know Pastor Jorge because we are in the same Baptist Association, so Bridges Bay Area Association. That's what we are a part of. I didn't even meet him until COVID and on Zoom. I think that's when I first met him and then discovered like he lives in Daly City. I'm in San Francisco. We're really close. And we hit it off. So he is my hermano. I'm his hingdai, I guess, if you want to use Cantonese and Spanish. We've done a bit of ministry together. So it's just been a blessing. And then I forget that I'm actually a little bit older than him, but sometimes I look at him like, oh man, you're very wise. Like, and then I'm like, oh, okay. Cause somehow sometimes you forget that you age. And so even for myself, I'm like, yeah, I am getting older. We all just forget that we are, I think. Unless we're little kids, then we just want to get older. Glad to be here. It's always a blessing and an honor to speak at Living Hope Fellowship in every church. And I want to start off by saying that it is my desire for all believers and all churches to love and follow Jesus. Amen? All right. And part of that love is that we are to love our family, our brothers and sisters. Amen? Okay, so today's passage, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at I have that. So let me just pull that out. All right. So we should be familiar with it. Sermon title is Three Sons, Lost and Found. We're going to look at Luke chapter 15, 11 to 32. Okay. 11 to 32. But let's jump. We're going to jump back just a little bit. Okay. But is there something that you have? Have you think about it maybe recently, or something that was just like very precious that you might have lost recently? For myself, it was back in February. I'm Chinese American, and so we celebrate, depending on who you talk to, Chinese New Year or Lunar New Year. Okay, and so it was Lunar New Year, and then my mother-in-law, she's from Taiwan, so she's Chinese culture, so. Every time I go over, if she's ready, then I probably have stuff to give her. So my hands are full. And then what my mother-in-law will do is she'll give me a red envelope. You guys know what the red envelope looks like? Okay, no? Okay, so you'll see in a second. And so, but anyway, so she'll shove it in my pocket. And she does that to my wife, too. Like, one time she shoved, like, $60, and we found it on the floor, and we're out in San Mateo. And we're like, what is it? And my wife's like, is it $60? I'm like, why do you know that? Like, so that's what my mother likes to do, just shove money in pockets. So my mother-in-law shoved the envelope, and then afterwards, my wife was like, did you get an envelope from my mom? I'm like, yeah, I got it from your mom. I was like, okay, well, where is it? Like, uh-oh, where'd it go? And she's like, it's not the normal $100 she gives you for your birthday. And understand, Chinese New Year, people will put in like a dollar or two, okay? Not 100, right? So that's already 100 times more. But my wife said, she put in more, few bills. And now I'm like, okay, where did we put it? So now we're looking through the house. We find our children's red envelopes, and we're like, ah, that's a dollar. That's a dollar. No, we don't want these. We're trying to find the envelope that has several hundred dollars in it. And then so we're looking at it, like, I know I probably put it somewhere for safekeeping. Like, ah, that's right, the fanny pack that she gave me. So I looked in here, like, is it in here? And sure enough, this is the actual envelope, no money in it. But this is the envelope. Okay, this is the red envelope. And like, okay, good. And then I told my wife, like, and don't tell your mom that we couldn't find it. Okay, and so I don't know if she did, but so that's, for me, that's where it's like it hit home. I also had something that I couldn't find. And that's what today's text, if you were there present hearing Jesus tell these stories, that is what Jesus is trying to relay. Just like here in this in Luke 15:6. The story is what? There's a shepherd, right? He had 100 sheep, but then discovered as he counted, he goes, 99. I'm missing one. Where's that lost sheep? And what does he do? Does he say, it's okay, 99 out of 100, that's 99%. It's okay, I can leave one, right? No. The shepherd's like, I want all 100. One of them is lost. And so he searches high and low. And finally, when he finds it, he says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Same thing in the next parable in chapter 15. It's a parable of the lost coin. It's kind of like mine, okay? Because each coin actually is about $100. So imagine you had $1,000 in coins. Each coin is $100. And you lost one of them. What would you do? We're like, eh, it's okay. 9 out of 10 ain't bad. No. You still go, where is that one coin, right? It's valuable. And then, of course, what happens when you celebrate? Or when you find it, you celebrate, right? So then this is what Jesus in his parable says. Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost. And then the last text today's main text that we'll read right now is about the son. All right, so let's take a look at it. So it says this, and we'll look at the first section. It says, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the young son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, okay, all his red envelopes are gone, okay, a severe famine arose in the country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs, okay? And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But he said to himself, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, for you are our living hope. You are the one that we trust in. And Lord, I pray we also rejoice to you and with you, because we know you are rejoicing with us when we are able to succeed, when we are able to understand and even repent, Lord, because that is, in many senses, the success. We repent and we turn to you. So I pray for today's text. Help us to understand. Help us to understand what it means to be a son and a daughter, Lord Jesus. Help us to love one another. Help us to love our family. Help us to love our friends. Help us to love everyone around us, Lord. Help us to be forgivers, Lord. I pray also for those who are struggling with different just ailments and issues, Lord. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's worries. Maybe it is our family where they've gone and they are lost, Lord. Help us in our anxiousness to be at peace, to trust in you, to know that you are the one that we ultimately have to rely on and that you are our peace. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Open up the eyes and the ears and the hearts to hear and see and understand this message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so my first point is, I'm trying to look around and see how many kids are here. Okay, all right. Okay, well, it's children honor your parents. Okay, that's my first point. Oh, and also, I have a handout back there if you want to use and keep notes and doodle on the side. That's all right. Okay, but children honor your parents. It should be an obvious statement, but it still bears repeating. We honor, and when we honor our parents, we love our parents. Thankfully, my parents are still around. So even though I am in my 40s, I'm still a child of my parents. And so I still seek to honor them. But from today's parable, did the son honor, the younger son honor his father? No. What did he do? He said, I want the money. Really, what does that say? What is the unsaid message when you say, I want my inheritance? I think it doesn't matter what culture background you're from. What does that imply? Yes, I wish that you died right now. Because when do you get an inheritance? Is it whenever dad wants? No, you might get an allowance, right? You don't get an inheritance until the parents pass on. Then you get the inheritance. So he's literally, especially Jewish culture, right? Think about it. Like, oh, because I'm coming from Chinese culture, which I think overlaps so much with Jewish culture that I'm like, oh yeah, that instantly, you're just instantly like, I wish you, and understand Chinese culture, you're not even supposed to use the word dead, okay? Like even my grand aunt, she asked me, do you know what? And she said in Cantonese, mhaido means not around. I'm like, of course, grandma, even a grand aunt, even if I didn't understand, I get the implication, right? Like, the person's not around, okay? Like, the person is up in heaven. Like, so, yeah, so death is a no-no, but that's what the son says. I want the money now, so I just don't even want to be around you. Okay, I wish you were dead. Not good, right? That's a no-no. That's not honoring your parents. Okay, but what does the dad do? What does the father do? Does he slap the son and say, how dare you? Chinese family maybe do that. Okay, no, they, okay. But the dad doesn't, surprisingly. The dad gives the son his inheritance. Okay, and the word prodigal, so he's a prodigal son, which means wild and reckless. And so he spends it until all the money is gone. Okay, he used it on what? Food, drink, entertainment, an entourage until no more money, and then, oh, where did everybody go? Right? That's what happens when you have money, and then we don't have money, then people will go on. So then he hires himself, there's a famine, and then he hires himself to somebody in, remember, he went to a far-off country where they have pigs. Now, being Chinese, I love pork. Okay, but Jews, what's another no-no? No pork. Now he's working for somebody to feed the stuff that pork comes from. Pigs. Another no-no. Okay, so he's doing lots of no-nos still. Okay, but what's great is this statement in verse 17. But when he came to himself, he had a moment of clarity. Hallelujah. The younger son had a lesson to learn. He needed to learn that the world was not about his desires, which are the desires of the flesh. And this is the exact moment when the son, younger son, has humility. He learns it. He humbles himself. And then he says, okay, let me just jump back to here. It says, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? Okay, I will rise and go to my father. And he tells his father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. This is a humble act, right? He doesn't go like, Dad, I messed up, but I want to be a son, your son again. Give me everything I'm owed. He already received it. He's like, I'm not owed anything. I will go humbly. Okay, so this is an amazing understanding. But what's more is when we sin against someone, we are also offending the Lord. That's what he says. Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. Not just you, Dad, but even heaven. When we sin, we have to understand we're sinning against the individual, but God is also watching. And he's hurt because we are not living according to the way we should. And we have broken the relationship to some degree. Whether it's father, son, mother, daughter, sibling to sibling, friend to friend, when we sin against someone, we are also sinning against God. And the younger son understood this. That's great. And so we need to remember, honor our parents. And in fact, last time I spoke about the rich young ruler. Okay? And in it, even he, where is that? Oh, that up back. All the way there. That's where we get Luke 19:19. It says, honor your father and mother. Even the rich young ruler did that. He knew to do that. Honor and respect is important. Don't imitate the younger son. Okay? God gave you parents, and hopefully if they're still around, you can honor them. Okay? Spoil them. Take them out. I try to do that now because my parents are getting older. Like even a friend, his wife, or so his mother-in-law passed away. And then so he told his wife, hey, go spend time with your dad. Time is precious, as you see. Because his mother-in-law passed away of cancer. It's like, try to spend as much time with your dad now, okay? Because it could be too late. And like for myself, sometimes what I try to do is set up stuff even on my phone to remind myself. You know, we have these devices, we can use it for good, okay? Like you can put it in there, like wake up or go to sleep or contact. Like I have one, like, you know, just say hi to my sister. Sometimes I still forget to do it. But I put in like, do this, do that, and just set it on like a weekly or several days and just bing, ding, oh yeah, message and say, how are you doing? That is how we can honor our parents and we can thank our devices for helping us to do that. Something for myself. When I first started dating my wife, and I said, oh, I love you, because I noticed I don't say I love you to my parents. Now again, Chinese culture, okay, we're not that accustomed to it, but I thought, interesting that I should be, but it's just not part of the culture. So I worked on it. And then so like at the end of a phone call, love you, mom. We love you, dad. Okay? And so depending on our culture, okay, it might be easier or it might be more difficult. But I think if we want to, and it's funny because sometimes the younger son or the kids will say it to the Asian parents, okay? And the Asian will be like, okay. And like, and just barely hug. Like that happens, okay? That's just, that's what happens, okay? But so, but like if you're already doing it, good job, okay? Don't stop doing it. But if it's not part of your culture, I think it should be part of our Christian culture, okay? Because Christ culture above any of the world's cultures, amen? Okay, and Christ culture is what we are to love, we are to honor, all right? So that's something that I even kind of came to clarity of in my 30s. Like, oh, I need to say, I love you, mom, I love you, dad, more. All right, so love your parents, honor your parents. First point. Second point, parents, love your children. Our Heavenly Father is depicted in today's text as a loving and gracious Father, more times than once. Let's take a look at the next section. It says this. This is the Son. While he was still a long way off, his Father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the Son said everything he was going to say. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Dads, let's imitate the father in this parable, which is one of compassion and love. I know we teach our children honor, respect, obedience. And if you're younger, okay, keep this in mind too. Okay, all right, one day you'll be a mom or a dad. Okay, it's good. It's to right, and it's virtuous to love our children. But sometimes we also need to let them go, okay? And that's another way to love them. Because I see that this happens, especially, again, in Asian culture, okay, but in other cultures too, okay, we sometimes forget that we need to converse with our children. Now, this is coming from another guy in ABC like me, okay, and he was telling me how he's a mentor, and he was talking to this dad, a younger dad, and the dad, and this is, okay, this is in Boston, okay, not even San Francisco, but one time the dad is talking to his mentor, and he says, hey, you know, my son, I picked up my son from school, and he said, hey, Dad, I want to try the gay lifestyle. Okay, Chinese family, right? The dad's like, what? No. That's it. Okay. And then so the mentor is like, you screwed up. And then the dad's like, what? How did I screw up? And it's like, you didn't listen to him. He's in middle school now. He's conversing with you. But you just shut him down right away. And so he's like, you need to talk, because what's going to happen if you say no? He's like, oh, my dad doesn't want to talk about it. Well, I will talk to the people who gave me this idea in the first place. The teacher, my peers. I will now trust them more than my dad, because he just said no. So the dad was like, ah, oh, okay. So he went back to his son. He apologized. Said, hey, do you still want to, like, what's going on? It's like, oh, well, the teacher is living the gay lifestyle. And so I thought, oh, maybe I should try it. And so the dad's like, do you still want to try? It's like, oh, no, it's just the teacher brought it up. It's like, oh, okay, good, right? Like, the dad was relieved. But it's still like, so we got to be careful and not just react, okay? Because otherwise the kids, our children are not going to hear or understand. The no was out of love, right? But it was not understood that way. Or it could be misinterpreted. And so, and as children grow, we need to also listen to them. And sometimes we have to let them go. As they're adults, we have to remember, they are adults now. They're our children, but they are adults. And then they will, unfortunately, make mistakes. And sometimes we can encourage. And just, we have to understand also, you know, their temperaments and everything. But they're no longer minors. They're our children, but they'll be adults one day. And when they are, we have to understand how to love and converse with them. Now, coming back to the father, what did we see, though? While this father, which is, of course, God, saw his son, he felt compassion. Anybody know the Hebrew, not Hebrew, the Greek word for compassion? Okay, I don't think you guys do. Okay, but I do. All right, I love this word. Okay, so that's why I want to share it with you. Okay, the word, okay, is looking for his son and has compassion. And the word is, okay, that's in Greek. Okay, but I'll give it to you. Splach nidzomai. Okay, splach nidzomai. Almost sounds like Klingon, okay? But it means to be moved to one's bowels, okay? Okay, it's the bowel emotion, okay? So the word is almost like Yiddish, okay? Where it's you're feeling it, and then you make that sound, splach nidzomai. Coming from the bowels, okay? That's how much the father felt, that the father sees the son, not the son sees the dad and runs to him. The father's looking and sees him, overjoyed and with compassion, runs to his son. Okay? The father is looking for his son. The father has compassion. And the father runs. Now, here's another thing. Okay. Who sees their dad running? If you're at least in high school, okay? Do you see your dad running anymore? Dad, do you run anymore? Probably not very often. Okay? Now, it's a no-no in Jewish culture to run. Why? They don't, okay, remember, Jewish culture, they're not wearing what we're wearing today. What do they wear? Robes. Okay? So just like if we think about even in American culture, if a woman had a dress and she hocked it up and you see her ankles, right? Okay, well, same thing back then. You're not supposed to show your ankles. So for the dad to do this, that means what? It's like, I don't care what people are thinking of me. I love my son so much. I'm so overjoyed and happy. I'm going to and run to him. That's how much the father loves. He runs to his son. Okay, and then the rest of the, and then he embraces and kisses. Now again, think about it. Think about someone who's like in the tenderloin. Hopped up on drugs, has not showered in weeks, okay? That's like the son. Think about it. He's been feeding pigs. It's not like he's like, okay, I'm going to go take a shower now and then go home. He's going to stink. He's going to reek, right? He's touched pigs, and so he's unclean. But the dad doesn't care. Like, I will hug, embrace this. No, he doesn't. He's like, I love you. He kisses his son. That's how much the father loves his son. That's how much he loves us. Because some of us are like this younger son. And remember, our children look up to us. It's the examples that our kids take from us. It's not when we lecture and train sometimes. It's when they see what we do. Because just as we hear people say, your spouse is your mirror, oftentimes our children is our mirror as well. And so we need to be careful that the things that we do, they're going to imitate. And one of the, what do we do? What do we say? Often we wonder, where did our kid get that from? It's from us. Okay, we need to be aware. And then if we see it, like, oh, that's something I still need to change because my child is imitating me. Sometimes my son is impatient, like, ah, that's me. Okay, and then like, hey, okay, daddy does that too. Daddy shouldn't. Okay, so you don't imitate daddy, please. And then we just have to work at it, okay? So it's good to have kids. That's why I'm telling some single guys, like, Sometimes, you know, it changes. I mean, it refines us. Having being married and having kids, it refines us. Okay, but we see also the love for the, and so the father. But yeah, this father's perfect. Okay, my son is dead. Now he is found, alive again. He's lost, but he was lost, and he is now found. Let us understand and encourage also, because what is he doing? He is rejoicing. He is celebrating. And I think I took my kid to soccer for the first time in San Francisco. First game yesterday. They lost, but it's okay. But it's like, encourage. Okay? We got to encourage. So even for myself, hey, good job. Like even the coach, like, good. You know, you guys tried hard. Yeah, I'm proud of you guys. And part of me is like, yeah, we got to say that. They lost 0-4. But yes, we still got to encourage them because they tried their best, right? It's their first game. They haven't had a lot of practice, okay? And it's just like some kids have more skill and the other team have more skill, so it's okay. All right, so but let us encourage not to do, okay, what Ephesians 6:4 says. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, okay? Colossians 3:21, a different church. This is Paul writing to another church. Says the same thing. Father, don't exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Don't frustrate. Don't annoy them. Okay? I do that to my kids sometimes. Like, I can't do that. Okay, we shouldn't do that. Okay? And love them. Encourage them. Say words of encouragement. 1 Thessalonians says, therefore encourage one another. Build one another up, just as you are doing. This doesn't mean just between our brothers and sisters, but even our children, even our parents. Okay, but I'm encouraging parents, especially to our children. Okay, Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us love one another. Let us encourage one another. Okay, the day is drawing near. This is how the church stays healthy. This is how the family stays healthy. So parents, love your children. As I say this, though, okay, again, Asian culture. All right, so oftentimes, when this parable is preached, most Asian kids are like, I don't get it. I mean, I don't identify with this younger kid at all. And some of us might be the same, whether you're Asian or not. You might actually go, I didn't do all that stuff. I wasn't the rebellious one. I didn't go and, you know, do X, Y, Z, whatever it was that the other kids did. I was the good kid. I got good grades. I made it into Berkeley or whatever. I was able to succeed. Some of us might actually relate more to the older brother. And if we do, there is a warning here, okay? So, which is siblings love one another. Okay, siblings love one another. So if you need to write that down, you can. Siblings love one another. Okay, Luke 15:25-32. It says, this is the older brother. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and he has received him back safe and sound. But the older brother is what? Is he overjoyed? My younger brother is back. But he was angry. He refused to go in. I'm not going in. That's what the older brother was doing. And so his father comes out. Okay, imagine like they're all having a party inside that yurt, right? And then the older brother's like, I'm not going in. I'm not going in, right? So dad has to come out. And he says, look, these many years, I have served you. Okay, this is the older son. Like, dad, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes. You've killed the fattened calf for him. And the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Because the inheritance for your brother is already gone, right? But it was fitting for me to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and now he's found. Some of us might be like this older brother, always aiming to do what is right, maybe even doing what is right. Maybe you ended up being the doctor, the lawyer, the engineer. Okay, you are successful. You're the perfect child that every parent wants. I know some people are like, oh yeah, I'm the perfect child that my parents, you know, wanted. And I'm like, okay. But some do that, okay? And maybe they were. Probably not. But anyways, but some of us might be like this older brother. Ah, my sibling, he didn't do well. He or she wasn't as successful as me. But even look at what this older brother, how he refers to his younger brother. Does he say, my younger brother? I substituted words there. But when this son of yours, not my brother, he's dead to me, this son of yours. Ooh, is there a good relationship between these two brothers? No. No. Okay. But the father reminds him again, son, you are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. And it's interesting that the father is also gracious with his son. Again, coming from Asian culture, not that my parents would do this, but I can imagine it, right? Like if any child, even as an adult, you know, talks like this to the dad, right? The dad's like, and I'm probably slap him too. But here the dad is also gracious, not just with the younger son, but with the older son. Because he listens to the son. He converses with the son. He explains to the son, this is what I'm doing. Your younger brother was lost, now he's found. Why, and almost like, why are you not doing this? So is it a dysfunctional family? Yeah, to some degree. But like every other family, I think we all have some dysfunctions. Okay, so the lesson is, let us love. Let us work on being a functional and less dysfunctional family. I know myself. Sometimes I wondered why my parents treated my siblings different than me. And it's because they understood I had certain capabilities that my siblings didn't, and they had certain capabilities I didn't. Okay, but let us love one another. Let's have compassion. You guys remember the word? Splachnidzomai. Maybe try saying it. Splachnidzomai. Okay, all right. Get yourself to remember, okay? Get that, yeah, splach, okay? All right, almost like you're about to spit. Okay, splachnidzomai, okay? All right. Sounds more Hebrew than Greek in some ways. But, all right, but let us love. Because as we love one another, what happens? The whole body is whole. Here's what Ephesians 4:16 says. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We can't build the body's not going to be whole and working properly if one says, I don't want this part of the body. I wish, right? Like, I wish the arm was cut off, right? Then you're not, that doesn't make any sense. Or I wish the eye was gone. No, that's not whole, okay? But that's what's happening here. And so Jesus is teaching, Well, several points. One is, do we know, so the text stops here. We actually don't know in the parable what happens, or the older brother, what the older brother does. So that is a dilemma. Now, what should the older brother do? Receive the younger brother, right? Love the other, like, hey, you're back, okay? Restore him, because he has, but he doesn't want to do that. And so Jesus, and I didn't say this, the context is this. Jesus is telling parables to whom? To anybody who wants to listen. But the Pharisees are there. And the sinners and the tax collectors are also there. So who are the sinners and tax collectors? The older brother or the younger brother? The younger brother. Therefore, who is the older brother? The Pharisees. Okay. So if you identify more with the older brother than the younger brother, okay, I identify more with the older brother, then I got to be saying, how am I like a Pharisee? Okay? I don't want to be a Pharisee. Sometimes we might look and do what Pharisees do and judge, like, you know, casting the stone instead of trying to love the prostitute or the other people or even the people next to them, the tax collectors and the sinners. Okay? Because that's what it says in the very beginning. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And what were the Pharisees doing and the scribes? Like, oh, good. The tax collectors and the sinners are going to Jesus. Hopefully they can come and love God and stop sinning. Is that what they said? The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. This man receives sinners and eats with them. How dare they? Why would Jesus do that? They're unclean. He should not even touch them. That's what they're thinking. And the problem is because the older brother lived a self-righteous life. He believed that he could, in a sense, work his way into salvation, which is what the Pharisees believed, right? To keep doing good works, I'm perfect, okay? And that's not, can we work our way into heaven? No, good. You guys know the answer to that. Okay, well then let's also remember, well, you know the answer, but let's also live it out. Let's not be Pharisees, all right? Okay, because Matthew 22 says this, and you guys should know this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, but what's the second one? You shall love your neighbor, your brother, your sister. Amen? So learn from the mistake of the younger brother. Go back to the father, repent. But learn from the mistake of the older brother, which we don't even know if the older brother learned. Don't follow either son. Follow the third son in the story. There's a third son? Yeah, the one who's telling the story. Jesus. Follow the true son. Okay, I was wondering, did you guys wonder, like, how is there three? Okay, all right, so yes, okay. Jesus is the true son. I'm going to repeat this again. I think I said it last time. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You need to follow Jesus. Only through Jesus can we get into heaven. Only through Jesus can we receive eternal life. He is the only way. Maybe you're like the younger son, trying everything this world has to offer, but your heart still feels empty. That's because there's a hole in our heart that's shaped only in a way that Jesus can fit. I'm telling you now, Jesus is the answer. You found Jesus, receive him into your life. And here's how you do it. Oh, I have one. Okay, well. Come home. Come home to Jesus. He welcomes you with open arms. Don't run away. Don't go and be lost again. You're not lost anymore. Don't think that you need to be perfect to go to church and be loved by Jesus. Just come. I've heard, this is actually through my mom, so I guess it's Chinese thinking. But she said that I've heard somebody tell me they don't want to walk into church, or they don't want to go to church. And the reason why is because if they step inside, they will instantly combust. Okay? Because I have so many sins, I can't go into church. Okay? And a few weeks later, she talked to another person. And they're like, I can't go to church. Like, why not? Because if I go in, the church will burn down because I'm such a sinner. And it's like, what are these people? And a funny thing is it's also about death, but they didn't use the word death. But it's still like, what is it with fire and things burning down? It's so interesting. God wants you to come to him. He's going to embrace you covered in all that pig stuff. Okay? He's not saying, wash yourself up. Okay? Go get cleaned up. And then put on cologne, cut your hair, and then I will receive you. Is that what he did? No, he ran to his father. That's what love looks like. Okay? Yes, God abhors sin, but he loves you. His grace is enough. Or perhaps you've been hurt by someone in the church. I've heard this before. When we went to evangelize, sometimes we ask people, oh, what's your church history and background? I'm like, oh, yeah, the pastor wasn't loving. And so sometimes we have to go, oh, I'm sorry. On behalf of that pastor, we apologize. Okay? But somebody else maybe hurt you in the church. There's a saying, hurt people hurt people. That doesn't mean you need to hurt others. It doesn't mean that God is hurting you. Okay? They're probably hurting inside. They were all sinners. Only one who isn't a sinner is Jesus. Trust in Jesus, not in other people. We're all hypocrites to some degree, okay? If you're hurting, go to Jesus. He will heal you. So go home to Jesus. The second, okay, so come home. The second point is forgive your brother or sister. This is how you love. You forgive. Forgive. And I think I threw, let me go back this way. Okay, and it, which is, this is Peter asking Jesus, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Okay? Is Jesus saying you have to forgive 490 times? Come on, the Sunday school answer is no, right? Keep forgiving. For them, this was basically, like my 5-year-old says, a Googleplex. Okay? You got to forgive a Googleplex of times. All right? Okay? Not to allow people to just walk all over you. Okay? But we are to keep forgiving. But here's something else that Mother Teresa said. Because sometimes we as Christians, we will actually, it's easier for us to go to the ends of the earth to go share the gospel. But she says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. Some of you might not know who Mother Teresa is, okay, but she's a Catholic nun in Calcutta, I think it was. And so she's saying, like, she probably saw lots of Christians go and try to and help. And she probably discovered there's a lot of people here who are going to travel all the way across the globe, all the way to India. And yet, what do they need to do? They don't even have good relationships with their family back home in San Francisco, in Lafayette, in wherever they are. We need to love our families. Amen? And here's the other thing. If we don't love someone, is the relationship ever going to get mended? If we don't even try? Okay? And the other difficulty is, sometimes somebody offended us, they don't even know it. But what we've done is we've allowed that hurt to reside in our hearts. Okay? And so now they've taken residence. And what happens? We're just bitter. We're bitter forever and ever. And maybe the person passed on. Maybe it was a parent who abused them and like mistreated them. And then it's like, oh, I hate my dad. And then even after the dad passed on, I still hate my dad. What you're never going to heal unless you forgive. All right? So forgive. And then you will be healed. Maybe there's someone who comes to mind. Maybe there's somebody in this church. I've heard stories where a guy had to forgive somebody because he happened to just sit next to the person that he hated in the church. And then the pastor said, okay, we're going to pray now. All right, now put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. And he's like, like that. And he had to pray for them. And they pray for the person next to him. I don't want to do this. But he did it. And then what happened? He was actually healed. But he was forced to do it. The pastor didn't know. I don't think he did. Okay, but for the guy, he was healed. And who knows if the person next to him even knew that there was that hatred. Maybe they did, but he was able to do it. Okay, and that's how hard it can be sometimes. Okay, or maybe it was a bully at school, or I don't know, somebody. Okay, but forgive. Okay, because they oftentimes don't even know they did it. Forgive the individual who harmed you. My last point. Find good reasons to celebrate. Okay, good reasons. I say good reasons because I've heard people say, hey, let's toast. I'm like, toast to what? It's Wednesday. I'm like, I don't want to toast. Okay, all right. Okay, but what was worth toasting in today's story? The forgiveness? Amen. How about in the first two parables that we went over real quickly? Something that was lost and is found. Okay? So, whether it is a son who is lost and now found, or even the things that we have lost, celebrate. Thank the Lord. Okay? Now, I'm guilty of where I, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I forgot to pray to you to help me find it. Okay? But I'm still like, I'm still going to thank you anyways, because I found it. All right? Let us celebrate. All right? And so, if you have forgiven someone, praise the Lord. Okay? Because maybe somebody did come to mind right now. And otherwise, maybe as we're praying, okay, there's somebody that's still coming to mind. Forgive that person. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this text. I know that in the past, as we grow up in church and we go to Sunday school, often we just think it is somebody who's, it's just about the younger son, about the younger son who went off, wasted everything, but then did come back to you, Lord. But I pray, help us, those of us who lean more towards the Pharisee and the scribes, who grumble, Lord, help us to love others. Others who might be more appearing as if they have sin. Help us to be humble as well. Help us to receive. Lord, I also pray for us, if there is a person that has come to mind, or if not during the week, repent. If we are the transgressor, help us to repent and even apologize, Lord. It could be somebody in this room, in this church. It could be a family member. It could be someone at work, Lord. Help us so that we are setting a good testimony, not a negative one, so that we can help more who are lost be found. Thank you, Lord, that we have this text, that you have given it to us, that you've spoken, you literally spoke this to others. Lord Jesus, help us also to hear it, to receive it, and to apply this good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.